So it is my great pleasure to welcome Charles Tack back to the Many Rivers stage. In the first years that we were open, and it's been almost 10 years now, we're approaching our 10th anniversary in November, in those first years, Charles spoke and did a lot of projects here, and has been absent for a while. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen him for a while. When I was putting together the calendar for August, I read his description of his event, and I have to say it was startlingly well written, far above the average of what we get, and really cogent and compelling. And that was really wonderful to see, a step up even from your own inimitable work before.
Usual stuff.
So we are delighted to have Charles back with us again. Obviously a step up from the Charles that we knew several years ago. And we are delighted to welcome him. Please join me in welcoming him.
Well, thank you. That was very, very sweet.
Quite honest.
Hi, Michael. Welcome, everybody. I'm doing my best to ground myself because I get so excited about talking sometimes that I get a little bit ahead of myself. So I'm you can breathe with me too. Anyway, so tonight, Making Wise Decisions, and I subtitled it Using I Ching to Cultivate Wisdom. So tonight I want to talk about the I Ching in context of making wise decisions. And let me ask first, just to get a sense for where people are, how many people have never gotten an I Ching reading, for instance, here?
Never,
yeah. Okay. And how many have done like less than 10? Okay. And how many people have more than 10?
Are you talking about more than someone 10 else doing it? Or are you
doing
it yourself?
You're doing your own reading.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. More than 10?
Yeah.
Okay. And who's been doing the I Ching like more than 10 years? 3, 4, 5. Okay, good. So, caveat here then, I am not an I Ching master. I am an I Ching enthusiast. Attempting to learn about wisdom through this tool. So what I'd like to do tonight is talk a little bit about what the I Ching is and how I use it. And then actually do a reading with someone here who's interested in a short one, not a long one. We'll do a modified version. And then we can talk about that reading and see what comes up from it. Okay? So, I was introduced to the I Ching. Actually, I basically had been really successful in my life till about age 30, and then at 30 everything fell apart, and I had no idea what to do with my life, and my career was in shambles, my marriage fell apart, I had just moved to California, I didn't know what I was doing, and so life was a mess, and so then I... somehow, for some reason, this book kept on appearing in people's bookshelves, and I think it was one of those cases where it almost, you know, fell off a shelf and became my book. But I didn't understand it at all. It took me a long time to have a sense of it. When I started, I basically had began to distrust myself and my own intuition, and I wanted to recultivate that. And the I Ching was a way to recultivate a sense of rightness in circumstances. And since that time, in the last 25 years or so, it has become almost like an internal voice for me around questions or concerns I might have. It's basically become a mentor, a wisdom voice that that often would have things to say that I didn't make sense to me, but eventually it would make sense to me. And I've come now and more to rely on it, to the point where sometimes I actually don't have to throw the I Ching, and I'll kind of have a sense for what it's going to say. And sometimes I'll throw it just to see, and I'm usually right on. And then there's other times when I think I know what's going on, and it tells me the almost all exact opposite. So I'm learning. Quick little history about the I Ching. Very quick one. And by the way, these people with experience, if you have things to add, feel free to jump in. And by the way, if you have questions as we go too, feel free to jump in with those questions. But in around 1100 BC, the King Wen and the Duke of Chao, his nephew, actually the Duke of Chao, I think, was imprisoned by a dynasty that was very cruel in China. And while he was in prison, I don't know all the details. At the same time, that's where he began to cultivate this tool. And in the beginning, they started to use it for discerning what was the right thing to do in terms of overthrowing this dynasty that was corrupt. And one thing that I Ching, another piece that the I Ching works for me, is that it can help you with the timing. There's a right timing for things. No, it's not time to do something. It's not time. It's not time. And suddenly it just happens. Or it's just right. You say, yes, I'm moving in that direction. And you just kind of move that way. Well, don't quote me, but if I get the story straight, they were gathering armies on the other side of the river to cross the river and take over the dynasty. Do you know this story? A little bit?
I know where you're going.
Okay. Yeah. Correct me if I make things wrong, if I don't get it right, but basically they were gathering armies from the tribes on the other side of the river, and they were waiting for the right signal and the right time. And when the right signal and the right time came, not only did they cross the river, but the people inside, underneath the leadership, helped them to take over, and this new dynasty actually was very a benevolent dynasty after that. So I think part of it was just cultivating a wisdom to knowing the right time to do stuff. And the I Ching, and there's a lot of symbolism inside it that has to do with warring factions and crossing the Great Water, and that all has to do with things leading up to that event and following that event. So, it's a tool where we get to ask a question, and we ask it a question, and we throw coins to get a reading from a particular place in the book. And then we use that reading to discern what might be a helpful thing for us. must I want to say before we... Actually, I want to say more, but I'd like to say more as we're doing a reading, and I want to offer a brave soul who would like to do a reading with me, and let me say this about that. I don't want you can ask the I Ching for all kinds of things, but for now, because it's a short reading, I'm not interested in asking a question about marrying somebody or getting divorced or, you know, a huge change in your life. Neither am I on the other side asking, do you want to ask a question around whether it's, whether you should go to a party on Saturday night. Okay, but you can use it for those kinds of things. But there's somewhere in between, and ideally it's an issue. One thing about the I Ching is it's issue and problem and challenge based. It's specific to something that you're working with. And if you have an issue or challenge that you would like to get some kind of clarity about over the next few months, I would help you clarify the question, throw the coins, get the reading, and then we can have a conversation about that reading. So, given that, is there a brave soul who'd be interested in having a reading around a question that they have that I can work with? Yeah? Great. Carl.
Right.
Yeah. So,
would you like me to
do you want to sit right here?
Yeah.
Okay. So, as Carl's getting the reading, I'd like you to listen and watch for just a couple of things. One is what content may emerge that is useful for you. There may be some little insightful thing here that says, oh, that's for me, on one side. The other side is, if something happens in this conversation where you go, oh, no, that's absolutely wrong or disgusting, or I could not agree with that, that's also potentially useful information for you. So either one of those are quite helpful. So when I do a reading with someone, I'm asking the question, we're going to create a question, and when I read from or give information, you're actually listening for either of those two things. What actually draws you, there's something in you that goes, oh wow, that's interesting, or on the other side, what pulls you away, because both of those can give you information. So, Carl.
Yes.
And again, you can say what you know, this is a public setting, but can you say a little bit about what you're curious about?
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of background. About a month ago, I jumped into something I hadn't any experience with. That was the online dating world.
Oh, okay.
And I'm asking myself whether I'm really ready for a relationship and what kind of relationship that is. So my question kind of comes down to, what am I really ready, willing, and able to sustain in my life in the relationship area?
Oh, good. Good question. I've used it for similar things myself. So, in formulating a question, we're asking for a period of time, a question that would be something like, and we'll find out what the right wording is for you, is let me throw out some possibilities. What would be the result of pursuing online dating for myself? So that's specific to over the next few months.
Or dating in general.
Or dating in general.
Or a relationship.
Or relationship in general. So let's talk about dating in general, or
Yeah, let's make it general rather
than
just on that.
Okay. You could ask a question like, what would be the result of pursuing dating over the next couple of months? Or you can, the concept of Tao, you know what that means? The concept of Tao is there's a way here. There's a way for Carl over a certain period of time that actually fits for him. So what's my Tao here? What's my Tao in the relationship world over the next couple of months? Could be a question for you too. Does any of that fit for you?
Yes, kind of. But when you say just for a couple of months, are you thinking of it as an entree into something, or are you thinking of 2 months in and cold feet out?
The one thing that it's great about the I Ching is that you can ask really specific questions, and ideally you're asking it for a period of time. It's not always the case, but you're asking it for a period of time and asking it for because it can change after those 2 months, 6 months, or a year, or a certain period of time. And in the changing, you can throw it again, or you know, or you've already learned enough and you're going.
I've decided that I need to engage this in order to find out for myself what I'm ready for.
Oh, that's good. So then the question would be more along, how would you suggest I engage the dating world over the next, let's pick a period of time? How does that work?
Or maybe the relationship world. I hate that
word, relationship
world. Dating.
Yeah, that's a better word.
I don't know what that is.
You need to pick the words that work for you.
Yeah, how can I best approach the relationship world with full integrity?
Okay. How can I best approach relationship world with full integrity? How's that feel?
As a I good think question. It feels pretty good. Actually, both ears are burning. I must be close to something there.
Okay. Okay. So, part of the piece with the I Ching is that the more specific the question, the better the potential answer is for you. The more you get clear about what you're focused on, and it has to work for you. And so the burning ears, that makes it sound like it's
there's
close.
Something going on in me. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay. So let's do it. Any questions where we are? Okay. So normally with the I Ching, we have a three-coin process that can give you a simple or a complex reading. And I'm going to use a six-coin process that makes it simpler. We're going to get only one changing line. I'll explain that in a little bit, okay? For those of you who don't know. And Carl, do you have how do I best approach the relationship world with full integrity? And if we were to put an ideal time limit for you that would keep your ears burning, what would be that time? It's not a week, it's not a month, it's, what is it? 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, year? I wouldn't go over a year for this question because it's a simple question right now.
Well, let's just say 6 months then.
Okay.
Okay. Since we're talking about how do I approach it.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
Over the next 6 months. How do you approach and how do you basically approach and engage this? Mm-hmm. Because you know you need to do something and you're going to jump, you're going to engage it, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I have six nickels, one of which has a dot on both sides, which I'll explain a little bit about afterwards. But Carl, you need to hold those questions. You need to shake that. And
that sure is the one changing line.
Huh? That's what it is. Yeah, it sure is the one changing line. And the interesting thing about this, though, is when you throw it from in front of you out so that the coins actually line up from your heart out. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the first through the sixth out.
So when you say throw them, do you mean just kind of like...
Yeah, and then you line them up from the first one to the sixth one. Good. All right. Good. You got a positive reading here, buddy. I just want you to know that the I Ching doesn't pull punches. It'll tell you what it thinks. It's not just a nice little grandmother that says, "Oh, honey, whatever works is fine." Okay. So (coughs) 42. Moving to 61. For those of you who, I'm not going to go into this in great detail, but the way that you read in I Ching, there are six lines. It's a yang line or a yin line, broken or solid. And there are 64 hexagrams that come out. And each yang and yin line combination creates one of those 64. So he got hexagram number 42, and the dot was in the second line. And the I Ching tells you a story. It tells you a story about where you are now, kind of where the hexagram is now, and at the end of your time, where you will likely be, which is hexagram number 61. All right.
So how did you get to 61?
Because when you have a changing line, your yin line goes to a yang line. So the only line that's different between the two is these.
So you constricted the number of possible hexagrams.
I did. This is, a simpler reading, because what you can get, as you know, you can have many changing lines, and then it can get, it can be a long and a long discernment process about how you.
When you get multiple changing lines, are you supposed to do all the permutations of the intermediary?
There are.
I mean, is that, do people read that way? Where you'll, if I had six changing lines, and I'd basically be every possible permutation would be kind of considered as a story along the path from the beginning to the end.
Yes. Yes. There's for those who are in teaching enthusiasts with an inclination towards complexity and esoterica, there's a lot of ways to look at. I look at this, and I'm not going to. That's why I only got one changing line to do it. But
and what's the origin of this casting method? It seems quick, for one thing, but I'd never seen that before.
You know, I don't know. I don't exactly know where the origin is. But I read it in this book, and a guy named Mark Johnson, who actually went over to China to study with an I Ching master, used the Yarrow sticks, which is a more complex way to do it. And he showed us at one point when we were doing I Ching readings here, he showed us how to get just one line. And he said to us, he said, "Why would you want more than one line?" And he had studied with this master, and he said, "One line is complex enough. Let it be." And
you mean one changing line?
One changing line. One changing line. So, So basically, Carl has a story that I'm gonna just riff on, okay? But if you're interested in reading more of it, we have several translations here, and I can talk more from the translations. But 42 is the hexagram for increase or benefit, and it's basically suggesting that this is a really good thing for Carl to step into. It's like he will benefit by giving himself to this process. Now, I want to say that in contrast to if you got, for instance, hexagram number 41, that's decrease or decline, where you move to a place where it's not such a good idea. I mean, I have over the years given readings to people who have wanted to get into finding a relationship, and the answer that they got was, it's not for you to do at this point.
At this point.
I remember, John. I remember.
So it's saying yes, go for it. And there's many ways to translate it, and there's many you can check many different versions. I happen to have liked the I Ching workbook as my favorite. It's out of print apparently, though, so you have to buy it used online if you can even get it. But inside the book, I have all these other translations in different colors based on what I've used over the years that I've really liked. So I'm going to read a little bit from that. Okay? And I'm talking in particular about the second changing line, which is the action line. It's the line where you're... it's kind of... How do you approach it? It's basically saying you go for it. You approach it well, and once I get my glasses, I'm going to read to you just a couple of the lines. And then I'm going to ask you about what's hitting you. So you're listening for what actually is hitting you, okay? Has anything gotten through at the moment yet? I've kind of been really generic.
Yeah, I don't recall anything aside from that. Okay, you sort of reaffirmed.
Go for
it's reaffirmed.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Right. Okay, so here's your love of the good carries a sincere wish to bring your inner integrity out into the outer world.
That's all. That's the question.
Yes. Well, see, you asked for that about bringing your integrity. Yeah. This is affirming that this is a time to bring your inner integrity out into the world, mm-hmm. and you asked about it in this particular realm. Okay, bring your inner sincerity out into the world. Mm-hmm. Good conduct and good karma combine to make you the focus of blessing. Rest into this. Allow it to open you further to the immediate and pervasive blessing presence. Because you're receptive to worthwhile aims and energies, you're successful in your endeavors. You may think of it as exceptionally good luck. You can maintain the momentum of this fortunate time if you preserve the normal structure of your life. Do not become rash or overly confident. Okay. I Ching is often telling you, even if it says there's good things awaiting, definitely be careful, don't be rash, don't be overconfident, because the Chinese love modesty. Modesty was a really high value. So even if you get a positive reading, remain modest in the process. Now, what's interesting about that, and I want to just say this other piece and then let you respond to it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I Ching tells you a story, and the story is, this is where it's starting. What I read to you is kind of how things could be. And then the last line is where it potentially will end up. And hexagram 61 is a hexagram for insight, insightfulness, and learning. And if you remember what Carl was talking about initially, he'd said, what did you say something about learning? What did you said something about it?
Not well, you to maintain the same and something.
Oh, something in the question?
He's talking about having a relationship and whether or not he would be
ready and willing.
Yeah,
to learn about himself.
And when it's to learn about, right. So insightfulness is the potential result of actually giving yourself to this process over the next 6 months.
Well, I often tell people that I think relationship is the high road to self-knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Most challenging one and most fruitful one, potentially.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this is suggesting that your self-knowledge would be increased in the process.
Okay.
So
how about my question, which was, how? How to engage this process with integrity? And yes. Whatever else I said.
Yeah.
Somebody out there knows, right?
Right. Well, here's one of the answers is offer your energy to the highest power within you. The way is open for great things. Okay. Offer it to the highest power within you. Mm-hmm. This translation I don't have in here. Be genuine and sincere in your words and deeds. If what you say and do comes from the heart, it will resonate with other people no matter how lowly or isolated you may think you are. A person's sincerity and generosity, there we go, sincerity and generosity of spirit speak to others no matter how humble you may be, your status. Because you have a good heart, your wisdom and influence may grow steadily and your actions will meet with a favorable response. So it's saying basically come from your heart. And I hate to be trite about it. But there are readings that you get where it's actually not a time to come from your heart. It's actually time to hold yourself back. And this is not one of those times. This is, in contrast, it's saying, come from your heart and be genuine and generous towards others. And in doing that, benefit will come to them and to you, and the insight will come too. How is that? I mean, how is that to hear?
I think it feels confirming. No, it's, yeah. It's good. It's confirming. But
right.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. That's good.
It also kind of dovetails with what I'm seeing astrologically at the same time, by the way.
Oh?
Yeah.
So that astrologically you have a positive inclination in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's good when those things match up. It's hell when they don't. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carl. So, reactions, comments, questions. What did that do in listening to this for you? Or what questions did it bring up? Or in the skeptical part of you, is there skeptical things that come up too? Ben, yeah.
The readings and the descriptions for the different hexagrams sounded very generalized, not very specific. Is that just this example, or does it get maybe more specific in other versions?
They are somewhat general. The benefit of learning over time with yourself is that you develop a relationship with this wisdom being to ask more, you can ask more specific questions and get potentially more specific answers. When I give a reading to somebody, I will have a lot more of a conversation up front about what they're looking for and what their questions are and what their concerns are. And we'll do a longer reading. And when I speak, the questions and issues that may arise will be things that we talk about, and then you can get more specific. It's not actually going to tell you go here, not here. It's going to say, you know, if you go down road 116 instead of 12, you're going to get to Forestville. And if you go down 12, you're going to get to Santa Rosa. I mean, sorry, that was a little...
Well, that makes sense. Like, you'll get to Happy Face, or you'll get to Stagnation, or you'll get to...
Right. Mm-hmm. And I have given readings to, for instance, a guy who comes up from San Francisco and asks about projects, consulting projects. He can make bids on all kinds of consulting projects. One day we did 10 different projects with he and his business partner. And there was an inclination in each one of them. They didn't say don't do it, but they said if you went in this direction, you'd have to deal with, in, for instance, the political ramifications of the bosses, da 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 da. But you still have to make your own. Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt.
Let me just finish this little piece and then Jim. It won't say be a doctor, be a nurse. It won't do that. But it'll say if you're going to move in the direction of being a doctor, this is what you're going to have to deal with. You're going to move in the...
More about the question that you ask than
right.
The answer you
give. Right. And if, for instance, we were to ask a question about a specific person that you're having a relationship with, which I have done, and I have done with other people, you'll get an inclination that says, you know, this is actually not going to help you to grow as a person if you pursue this road in general. I mean, that's kind of where you, or this actually may be a little bit tough for a little while, but it actually has the potential to move. Or wait a little while, let's see what's happening here. Let things settle out. Am I addressing your question? Yeah. Okay, Jim, what do you want to say about that?
I have had experiences with the I Ching where it was very specific.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to drop that into the mix. I mean, I've told this story before here, I think, but I was in charge of an organization in New York decades ago on the island of Manhattan, and we were having financial problems. We had an opportunity to move to Brooklyn. But I was torn. I mean, Manhattan is kind of a central location, da 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 da. And I asked the I Ching, and the answer I got was, "Do not cross the Great Water." And it couldn't have been more
very specific.
More specific. You know, it was exactly the hexagram you were referring to earlier in your talk. And I didn't. And the money did come, you know, to the organization.
Right.
It did. You know, about half a year later, I saw why it would not have been a good decision. Not often. That doesn't happen often. In the years and years and years I've used the I Ching, there are only maybe a handful of times where I've gotten sort of boom. But sometimes it does. It's very interesting how it will sometimes be very direct and other times not so direct.
Thanks for adding that, because I agree. There are definitely times when I've gotten an answer that feels so absolutely specific, like yes, no, but it's not always often. But we asked, in this case, we asked for how to approach it, which was a different thing where it's a little bit different in that. So what do you want?
Well, I was just going to say that Chinese is a very metaphorical language. So when you read English translations of the I Ching or the Tao, sometimes they look very different from each other. But the reason for that is that the language allows that. It's not so specific as our language. So I think in a reading or an experience with the I Ching, you are a participant. You meet it. So you interpret, you project, you things that you don't know about yourself arise and go into the language of the I Ching and come back to you in a way that you can see it. That someone else asking the same question, getting the same hexagram, will have a different answer.
Yes.
And that's perfectly appropriate.
Yes.
That, in fact, that's why it's so powerful,
yeah,
in my view.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. And for instance, you can read, there's a lot you can read in a lot of these translations. And if one line strikes you, for some reason that line hits you, and it doesn't hit somebody else who's reading the exact same thing, that line strikes them, it's gonna create a different way of a different message for you, right? Would you say that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was. Elena.
I just wanted to ask, how many hexagrams are there?
There are 64.
64.
And then there's six changing lines per hexagram, so there's 384 other, you know, options.
But. Yeah. 384 other options.
Well, there's
but
64 hexagrams.
64 that have a meaning, or like 64 meanings essentially of a hexagram, but you can fold out into each other.
There's 64 hexagrams to answer your questions, and they give you kind of an archetypal pattern about what the situation is. Okay. And within each of those hexagrams, there are six changing lines, which give you additional information related to the hexagrams.
And when you're working with the I Ching book, I remember seeing that when I was a child, the gray one.
Yes.
Been seeing that around bookshelves for years.
Right.
When you're reading about, let's say, hexagram 42, does it say if this line changes, then it means this, if this line changes, it means that, for number 42, or are you as the reader putting together the meaning if 42 changes?
No, so you go to 42, and you read the pages, and then you read where the second changing line.
Oh,
and for
I see.
Instance,
so it addresses that.
It addresses
the context of 42.
The hexagram and the second changing line. So in this case, it's a long one. I'm not going to read it to you, but that's it says, yeah, okay. So let me talk about this in terms of making wise decisions, because, and cultivating our own inner wealth. And that is that let me tell you the story. When I first started, I told you in the beginning, my life was kind of really confused. I'd moved to California from the East Coast, and I was ungrounded, didn't know what was going on, starting to explore spiritual topics and being totally confused because my conventional life that I had on the East Coast was like 100 lifetimes away. You know, that kind of mode, like, what do people do out here in California? I just had no sense of that. So what happens is this drops in my lap, and I go, oh yeah, this is really helpful. So you know, you look at this, it's on a lot of people's bookshelves, a lot of ex-hippies and, you know, stuff. They, oh yeah, I could be a change, you know, that kind of story. Sorry, little editorial comment there. But
yeah.
But I was just looking for how do I make this decision about whether or not I stay with my wife or not? I didn't know what to do, so I would throw the I Ching and I'd read this thing, and if one sentence in the reading got me, meaning it struck me and I thought there was something to it, I was happy because I didn't have any understanding of what it was talking about in a larger sense. That was the beginning of my movement towards developing a wisdom, but developing access to a wiser part of me. But it was one sentence. You know, it moved to two sentences at times, and it moved to other things. Over time, it's become more clear that I get where I understand where it's coming from. But initially, I didn't. And that's why I recommend, actually, just to do a quick aside, since we can't get this book new here, it's too bad. The I Ching workbook is a good one. And there's another translation for people who are beginners that I think is excellent, and that's this one. And they have this here, the Everyday I Ching by Sarah Denning. It's surprisingly rich for especially when you're first starting out. Anyway, I want to move to this place where we're wanting to access our own inner wisdom. It's not about this wisdom being outside of us, okay? It's about this wisdom having access to 3,000 years of kind of blending heaven and earth on the human plane to create something that has been useful and it's continued. But this is for us to take and be part of us, so that we actually have an inner wisdom, our own inner wisdom, and our own inner wisdom character. So when I do a reading, for instance, I'm actually having a conversation with I Ching about the issue that I'm dealing with. I'll get the reading, I'll get the words, and I'll basically have, it's like I'm talking to a mentor. Or actually a grandfather figure. I've been trying to write started writing this book on grandfather and a grandson as the metaphor for the I Ching and us as kids in terms of wisdom. So where am I going with that? Questions or comments? Michael?
So much has to do with simply expanding the dimensions of our own inner conversation, our own inner dialogue,
mm-hmm.
and inviting new ingredients, new members into our conversation.
Right.
And when the inner dialogue is expanded, then it kind of does its own processing.
Yes.
And helps us to find richer conclusions.
Yes. I agree with you.
Yeah.
And may I add to that? The expanding to include other dimensions may also include aspects of ourselves that are based on our patterns from the past. And those aspects and parts of ourselves from the past influence our present, sometimes to the place where we're limiting what is possible. Well, this is the way Mom always did it, so I'm just going to do it that way. That's my mom voice guiding me to do something, but that's not necessarily a wise voice. It's a voice based on a past experience. So when we're expanding ourselves to appreciate and learn from different voices, it's important to discern where those voices are coming from. Which is why, in my opinion, accessing inner wisdom is a way to potentially accessing the I Ching as a way to potentially get a wiser voice than what we have from the past. But what happens sometimes, though, there is we actually often will listen to that wisdom based on our past, and we'll make an interpretation that's based on something from that we think is right, and we reinforce the old pattern. Does that make sense?
So does the I Ching help us discern? In that case that you just...
I have used it to help me discern. When I have listened to inner voices, I will often let those voices talk, and then I'll throw the I Ching, mm-hmm. because I've come up with a tentative conclusion, or they're in conflict. Mm-hmm. There's actually a hexagram number 6, which is conflict, where your inner voices sometimes, or your inner or outer voices are in conflict with one another, and how do we deal with that? And what I'll get is I'll get a sense for maybe this voice has more wisdom than this one. Maybe I need to just wait. There's a lot of waiting in the I Ching, where you're waiting for the right thing to come, and suddenly the door opens and you move in that direction.
You know, your example about the general, I think the first time he threw the I Ching, he was all ready to cross the river with the forces, and he said, don't, and he had to wait. So he went back and waited until he got the auspicious reading. Go ahead.
Oh. I need to learn that story a little better. That's good. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It would be interesting to hear really the story of how that was developed, because it's very hard to imagine one person in prison would have come up with the 64 hexagrams and the it must have actually developed over a much longer period of time. It would seem.
It did.
It is almost like a living, it's a living thing. You even call it, what did you call it?
A mentor.
Yeah, and I don't know if you used that word, but you used it almost as like it was a being.
Oh, right.
Being, right. But mentor would be a great word for it. But, and it's so amazing that it would get to the point where somebody would hold off on moving across the river by getting a meeting across the river. Already had a really strong preference.
Well, and you have you develop a relationship where you trust it. When I would first get this reading, all right, so here's my single world, you know, being a single guy in the single dating scene world, I see this beautiful woman at a distance, and I think, I'm going to go for that, and I Ching says, no, and I don't trust it, and I go for it. And then I come back and reread the reading after I've done that, and I realize, there might be something to it. I do it again and do the same thing, make the same mistake, come back and look at the reading. So so the relationship had to develop over time. And yes, I really should, before I quote history, this was 1100 BC, but for 1500 years before that, there was some other thing they were building on. So this is actually... You know, 5,000 years, and they actually started codifying it at 1100 BC. Yeah, I'm more practical focused than I am historical in my orientation, so I don't have to.
I'm confused by the way you did the throwing. You know, what I've done is the 3 coins.
Right.
Without a spot on one, and shaken them up, and thrown it 6 times, and then it's the relationship of the coins of being heads up or tails
right.
up,
bit of combination that gives me each line. So how did you get a line for each of those coins?
The three coin method is the normal one, and that is, you can learn that in any of the books, and that is the more accepted way to do things. With six coins, every head or tail is one line. So I use six coins for six lines, so I only throw it once.
So, if you got a head, you just know that's yin or yang. So, okay, that makes sense.
Right.
And then you get the changing line and you reverse
it. I only have one changing line, meaning it's got a dot on both sides.
So when you do it that way, which are the connected lines and which are the broken lines?
Heads is yang, or is a solid line, and tails is broken. You can, by the way, use either one as long as you're consistent from the beginning. Some books actually, most books have one, but there are books that do the reverse.
Okay.
Technically speaking.
That's a much quicker way to get to it. Yeah.
It is, and if you're doing a shorter kind of thing, that's what it's really good for. But if you're doing a more life reading, or you want when it's more complex issue, you want the bigger reading.
So have you ever done it both ways with the same question and come up with the same hexagram? I mean, is that likely to happen if you're asking that question and this being is responding to you?
I've actually thrown the three coins on the same issue and gotten not only the exact same reading but the exact same changing line, and the chances of that happening are so incredible. It's, you know,
does
millions
it happen
to one.
More than once, or was it just once?
It's happened to me more than once, where I thought, and it's like, okay, I get the message. I didn't want to hear it the first. I didn't want to hear it the first time. The second I got the same message.
I love it.
Have you ever had that? No.
No, but
anyway,
I think that the traditional, I mean, I have no problem with the method you use, but the traditional method takes time. That's the whole point. It takes time. So you're dealing with a complex issue or something deep. You want to take time to have it unfold for you.
I agree.
Yeah, but and it's a venue with a limited amount of time.
Yeah, that's fine.
It makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jim?
One time I threw the I Ching and I did not like the answer. I really didn't like it. So I threw it again. And what I got was there's some hexagram that says don't consult me anymore, or don't, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, four.
It's like
time.
Hexagram four. I got hexagram four and it was very clear. It's like you're not being respectful.
You're not taking this response.
Right.
Hexagram four is youthful folly.
Youthful folly.
Youthful folly, where you're literally not receiving the wisdom of this thing, so stop it. Basically, it just says stop it, and it's, you know, it's a loving slap in the face.
So it was very clear.
I've gotten that too, and it's humbling. I mean, you have to be willing to receive the reading and sit with it. I give readings to people, and I can give a short reading in a half an hour, but mostly I give readings that are an hour to an hour and a half. And you need the time to have the conversation. And then you take it with you and you see what stays with you and you see what doesn't. And then, you know, sometimes have four conversations with people after that too. Hey, Michael?
I was just thinking about when something turns into a living thing for you. And it has to do with how we relate with it, how we use it. And like the way a lot of people relate with words, they are not actually living things. Okay?
Right.
And was there a moment when the I Ching actually started coming to life for you, or did was it Do you remember like your own history with it?
You know, thank you. That's a good question. It actually happened over time, and it happened in the way like what Jim described about getting, you know, throwing a reading, knowing you didn't like the answer, and then throwing it again, and literally having it say, "Stop asking the question. Go back to the first. Go back to the first answer." And you, it's jarring. Its accuracy can be jarring. So I've come to, like, you know, when you develop a friendship with somebody, right, you're just learning to get to know that what can you trust and what can't you trust. And of course, I disobeyed the I Ching a lot. I just went in the other direction of what it suggested. And I came through hard wisdom to realize that it was a waste of energy and a waste of time to pursue something that it didn't, it would say either wait for, or, you know, if you're going to go this way, it's going to be trouble. And I'd say, I'm going anyway. I have that, you know, I don't know, I have that impulsiveness that I would just go anyway. And, you know, imagine having a grandfather where you're having a conversation with grandfather, right? And the grandfather says, you know, I wouldn't do that. As a kid, you're going to say, well, sometimes you trust the grandfather, but you're going to have to eventually trust yourself and try stuff. And you try it and you learn.
What to make of the readings that don't seem to have anything to do at all with the question that you asked? That it's like, this is totally the wrong reading. That's happened, you know, not that often, but a number of times where I feel sort of tight inside, and I want to just kind of push it away because it doesn't seem to be answering my question.
Right. A couple things. One is I will wait and see if coming back later makes more sense. But there are times when it just doesn't make sense, and sometimes I'm actually not in the place to receive the wisdom that it's saying. I think I said it in the beginning. You know, when we're sometimes discerning something that we want to get clear about, we're too anxious or we're too depressed or something is way in the way of us being able to discern what's possible.
Sometimes I think that there's another question that I'm not actually asking, that I'm not in touch with, that is it underlying the question that I did ask, but where I can't even see it, and that's why going back to it later, often it does make a little bit more sense.
Yes.
This wasn't really the wrong reading, it was really the wrong question.
Yes. No, it's interesting because
it was a right reading, wrong question. That's very interesting concept that it could be that. Yeah, but I think it could be.
Well, I've also gotten that I would get an answer that the reading didn't work, but I realized if I sat with it, that the question I was really asking was something else. And when I had the insight of what the other question was, the answer made much more sense.
But I never know if I'm trying to fit it into, you know, or not.
Right.
So usually I just let go of it completely and then go back to it some other
right.
time. And by then, usually the other truth has risen up anyway.
Right. Yeah. And so there's the benefit. It's not necessarily in the answer. The benefit is in the discerning process.
Right.
Which is why we, you know, we want to give weight to this, but it's actually this. It's this process that we're attempting to cultivate around our own wisdom.
Well, one thing that's really interesting there is that when I pay attention to that feeling that I described, that I get a tense, if I get nothing, then I'm not as likely to even go back and look at it.
Yeah.
But if I get some disturbance from it, even though it doesn't seem at all related to what I was thinking about,
right.
then it makes me curious.
And you go to the disturbance, right?
Right.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. What is that?
Yep. Which reinforces, like, if it's something clicks, or if there's a disturbance, there's both these pieces that there's something here.
Right.
Oh,
yeah,
that's the place to work
with.
In
the beginning, right, if you don't like it at all.
Yeah.
How did you learn to work with the I mean, I'm sure people say this a lot about it, the self-fulfilling prophecy aspect of getting, let's say, a reading that you don't like, saying, oh, I don't believe that, I'm going to go ahead, and then if something doesn't work out, and you go back and say, oh, it was right. Without, I mean, how do you sort out, you know, whether that was just sort of some negative belief that that implanted in you that caused it to not work out, versus it really knew what was going on? Like, how did you resolve that in yourself to get to be so trusting in it?
That's a really good question. If you guys have answers, I'd be curious. Those who have experienced.
You build up a sense of trust over time.
Yeah.
It just takes time.
And if you don't want to trust it.
You're working. It's like you said earlier, a relationship. You know, and you don't know at first. You might fool yourself. But over time, you begin to have some discernment about it.
But do you assume then? Let's say you do the opposite of what the reading is telling you. And something doesn't work out. Do you assume that was because you were carrying this assumption that maybe there was something? Because of the reading, that the reading had sort of planted it in your system, and therefore it manifested, didn't manifest the way you wanted it to. Or that the reading knew already what was going to happen, and you just proceeded completely clean of any residue from this negative reading. And
do the reading after the fact.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Way, you're no danger.
Exactly. And, you know, past, present, and future is all happening now.
You don't have to question
the reading
at all.
You know, that's a very good question, and it's very complex, and I have struggled myself with, have I created a self-fulfilling prophecy here in that I'm not, this isn't going to work because of the reading, or this is going to work because of the reading, and boy, that's a good question.
I would maintain that the reading just brought that to light. So you had to deal with it consciously instead of unconsciously.
Oh, that's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah. My assumption is that when, for instance, Carl brought his question, he brought his mindset and his everything to this moment and asked the question. If he was in, you know, if he woke up after a bad dream, and about a bad dream about being strangled by a date, you know, fatal attraction or something happening, and he came and had that reading, there's a different mindset, there's a different heart set that may bring a different kind of sense to it.
Right. And, of course, a different interpretation.
Right. Right.
You know, there's that question too you brought up about which one are you listening to, which wisdom is it to? That's part of that discerning. Did this influence me or what is well, where am I in all this?
Right.
And that's part of the benefit of looking at it. You get some kind of container with all kinds of possibilities in it.
Right. Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of the concept of free will that a lot of astrologers believe in, that, you know, the chart may say one thing, but that doesn't mean that you can't manifest what you're wanting. It's just that these are the influences, and there might be a way that people work with the I Chings.
Right. And I would suggest, I agree with that. I would suggest that if we're actually wanting to manifest something that is strictly personality based, that has a lot to do with our past, we actually don't have a lot of ground or support from heaven and earth to make it happen. So we probably won't get a positive reading on that. Whereas if there's a sense of soulfulness in the question, in the discernment, and we have some kind of these inklings that are pulling us in a direction, James Hillman's The Soul's Code, you know, we have a diamond that's actually guiding us. If we have our guardian angel, if we have a sense of that being guided that way, my sense is that the I Ching is going to support movements in that direction. Yeah.
And is that your experience as well, you
Yeah. I mean, that's where, what voice, I mean, Michael talked about voices and expanding, but what voice is actually speaking to me and influencing my circumstances here? And a lot of times it sounded wise, but it was actually my dad saying, you know, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. Yeah. You know, Frank Sinatra said it first, but Dad said it afterwards. And I went to New York City to try to make it in New York. 2 years into it, I realized, I don't want to make it in New York. I don't care if I make it in New York. I'm leaving New York.